아래다. 다시 지금도 니비 둥아 고르시지 당아젤레 둥아디게 삼다지 지자 둥아디게 베 둥아 드네 인자다 둥아들로 타고도 선비게 다 타주게 삼바 둥아디 간래 껴와래라네 다 뇽몽벌레 껴와서 뇽몽바 빵비 빵바식 시위 빵바 타바 토바이나 다디 둥아디 뇽거여 마티서 타바 토고도 선비 삼다야다 다 타바 토바디야 네 라지부 마이 바신 심제 탐제 타바 토고도 진짜 심제 탐지기 돈동에 산요코바 토바 지기 디 돈달라나 산요코바 도코 토야기 돈달라 아니 에 파주기 냠네 지기세 어디네 가서 삼마 땅지 두치네 에 둥하요 고시에기 돈다데라 다 니서 하고 둥하기 니서 하고 시 온두 삼마 땅에디 에 다 디쇼베기 당시에기 랍제 디르와다
This morning, then, we're talking about the sufferings in the hell realms, sufferings being experienced in the hell realms. And so it's important that we think about suffering and the various manifestations of suffering in order to be able to give rise to the wish to be liberated from suffering, to become free from suffering and even the potential to suffer. And here the primary cause of suffering being experienced by those in the hell realms or anywhere else is the karma that has been accumulated due to the afflicted mind. So therefore, in order to be liberated from suffering, the cause of the suffering needs to be eliminated, namely the afflicted mind. And to thinking like that, one gives rise to the wish to eliminate the causes of suffering and attain liberation. Applying that understanding to the situation of all sentient beings, seeing how they share the wish that we have to experience only happiness, to be freed from suffering, we then generate the amount of love and compassion to the point where we take responsibility for their welfare, for their happiness. And that leads us then to the development of the wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of others. And to do so, one cultivates the six perfections. So to come to this conclusion, the generation of bodhicitta for the sake of others, one needs to understand the reality of samsara, that in its very nature it is suffering. So just start here with the 86th verse. For one whole day on earth, 300 darts might strike you hard and cause you grievous pain, but that could never illustrate or match a fraction of the smallest pain in hell. If we were to be continuously stabbed, maybe by even as many as 300 people stabbed with spears or as we have here, darts, this of course would cause us grievous pain. But this pain that we would experience is not even a fraction of what is to be experienced in the hell realms.
Jawa chakya nyamsu nyonyani jisi mige desi magyurba, desi sodan chawa migyuru osir.
In the 87th verse, the frightful pains and torments just described are lived and felt throughout a billion years. Until those evil deeds are fully spent, one will not die and shed this life in hell. The meaning here then is that there are infinite sufferings that have been already explained that beings are experiencing in hell. So these are being experienced by many beings, and we would have experienced ourselves in the past. And so all these beings right now who are experiencing the kinds of sufferings that have been described, this suffering will continue to be experienced for an incredible length of time. And the suffering will continue to be experienced until the potency or the strength of the karma that has propelled this rebirth is exhausted. So one may experience death, but bodies are reconstituted or revived, and therefore the suffering continues. And this will continue until the propelling karma, the karma that has led to that birth, is exhausted. And only then will actual death come.
And then, the old Migi Jedin Namja Sabeni, Lunga Yigi Neju, Kegini, Jine, and Dedul Samya Machiba, Dedar Nigi Zagi Beber Jews.
Then the 88th verse. The seeds of these, the fruits of evil deeds, are sinful acts of body, speech, and mind. Work hard, therefore, and muster all your skill to never stray a hair's breadth into sin.
That is this word. Migate dinam je sabani, luma yinichu. That can't do the gene, duma de pato, meba ingura said the duma mosesarawa. Says that duma gi, dene duma de gi, yugarel and migavati, migavares, migavati wares. And migava de ganis ungurel and then gahoyorel and then. Denigi, Migivi, Devo Savon, Migo, Luna used Nesita, Lu, and the Lu, you go in a Dipache Adam, Mau Gonetiba, you go in a Diba, say Luna used you go in a Diba Tapchimosa, and then Migo Tapchimosa, Migivi, Tapchimosa, and there did Devo means you do not know what you are. It's done on the Denigi, Duma, Yoya, Gudi, and a Chilo, your Maris, or the Chilola.
All this intolerable suffering that we've had described thus far. So this all comes from a cause, and the cause will be non-virtuous karma. And non-virtuous karma is accumulated through physical acts, through verbal acts, and through mental acts. And if this negative activity done through body, speech, and mind is of particular power, when it ripens as propelling karma, will lead to rebirth in one of the hell realms. So the cause for that one accumulate, the cause that leads one to attaining rebirth in hell, is not something external to ourselves, but is something internal within us, and this is accumulated through either a physical act or a verbal act or a mental act. But if it's physical or verbal, it's still accumulated primarily not by the physical or verbal expression, but primarily by the mental activity behind it, the motivating mind. So the primary cause for the accumulation of negative karma is the negative mind, the afflicted mind. And that is the primary cause for all the suffering that we see explained here. And then recognizing this, then what we see in the third and fourth line is that we need to make great effort to restrain our body, speech and mind to ensure that we don't accumulate even the slightest negativity. The purpose of mentioning a hair's breadth is to emphasize that we mustn't allow ourselves to be deceived by thinking, okay, I better restrain from the serious negativities because of the results that will come from these, the big non-virtues, but rather the minor ones, the slight negativities, these too need to be refrained from. So this brings us then to the conclusion of the presentation on the sufferings of in the hell realm. Negative karma accumulated is a cause, as we've heard, for rebirth in the lower realms. But and we also heard about the strength or the weight of the negative karma that determines whether it's ripens in a hell rebirth or a rebirth as a preta or as an animal. So because our negative karma can ripen in these variety of ways, we need to reflect on the different suffering experiences of the different realms. So we've looked now at the hell realms, so now we come to look at the sufferings that are experienced by animals. The 89th verse, for animals there's multiple distress, they're slaughtered, tied up, beaten and the rest. For those denied the virtue that brings peace, there's agony as one devours another.
And 我当嘛都南山西嘛，我当嘛对不对？你把就我都做不的，你别吃不吃呀？当，今天这刚才我们就刚刚说尿西的，西河水呀？当，哎，感谢给水了呀！那就，今天这个水的气的，今天个，这水要都搞不了呀，气的，今天个，甚至水的卡巴当，起码水要些，看看当，看当嘛，出口嘛路线呢，今天嘛路线呢，今天水不的是，出口嘛，去看当大家罗。
人嘛，出口路线，人嘛，出口嘛，看到嘛路线，人的水果，现在人的农啊，包都没办用过了。在人的这个，我就这个马西刚了，那刚把老话对呀，但人的这个，在水塘打马拉用过了，现在人的这水果，那这这包都没办用过了，才是的。这个我的意思，那啥货的哈，可能人的种着给，三当地种起来的。啊，现在种着水果，我就米给种着水的，开始给搞这个，搞那水果来了呢。
啊，那借度的水果是吧？
你说的，米给，
米给种水果的，米给种水果的，跟水果来是呢，开始给借度的水果了，开始给看当家，那刚把老话当家下线，真的是稀奇古怪了，开始给看他看他妈出出出路线的水果了，当妈的水塘，当妈的这水果了，米给种着水了的，就是等种着了呀，那可能是种着等那个种啊。 那深圳南路水的地路啊，大的，那这个就是深圳水的，搞不了，马西港了呢，可下看这个这个这个这个水哇，就是米给深圳水塘大，马的水塘，那深圳南路好像这个，他那个刚刚这水塘水塘的那些水皮，农啊搞不了，他农啊大马了，他运流不到刚刚我们用过来吃过那些是吧
Let's look then at some of these sufferings here that animals experience. So firstly, it's mentioned that they are slaughtered. As we know, animals are slaughtered for their flesh or for their skin, but and also for pleasure. And the ways that animals are slaughtered are wide in variety. So some can be said to be fortunate in that their killing is unexpected and quick. Others, There's the knowledge beforehand that slaughter is impending, but there's nothing that can be done. So this leads to far greater suffering, because it's the stress, knowing that one's life is about to be eliminated, but one does not have the physical or mental capacity to do anything about it. Then moreover, the way that they are killed, there's tremendous variety in that crayfish, the way that they may be cooked alive. Others could be killed through suffocation, etc. So there are many differing ways that animals are killed, and their lives ending like this causes a great variety in terms of the suffering that they experience. But animals are not only killed by humans, but they kill each other. And here again, there's a tremendous variety in how animals kill. So some will catch them, will be caught, and will be devoured alive. Others will be crushed, caught by a boa constrictor and crushed, and they will not be able to breathe and die a slow, agonizing death like this. So there's this tremendous variety in how animals die, either killed by fellow animals or by humans. But and so there's a variety in how they're killed and the amounts of suffering they experience, but all of them live with this fear of potentially being killed.
今年啊，进化是的，进了第二档，动画那做法，进化是的，它会大，或者就那它会大呢，难呢，刚刚这一档动画报都没法用过来，确实。那另外我们都讲这个，那另外有那边呢，这个监狱从高大计算的呀。
啊，那地形在修罗啊，地做更不牢固，挡不住，把挡不住，结果马达马上都过个这个了，结果罗，挡不住去那下修罗，可女汉马达算马达把都天天挡不住那下修罗，刚刚他都天天给，当然都通去自己把天天给进把，他会挡不住，俺那都是也得动啊，把不得把用过来，俺那个现在把动呢，也大挡起来，当然就地修罗。
现在两个国家，两个看了嘛，现在也打中国了哇，怕做着的，俺家拉毛不给，怕叫毛的都弄过来，俺那点那个，俺那这个，嗯，冬天的冷不起的个，俺那地说了，在两个国家搞好了，加个冬天的，拖住天气了，俺点那个，再别个冬啊，冬啊，把冬啊那时候用过来吃过来才知道，今天天说冬啊，那说话噻。
and furthermore, animals are tied up and beaten. And this refers to a variety of experiences that they have. For example, some animals, before they are cooked, they are caught and they are bound. And then they are displayed bound in a shop or in a restaurant. And then humans come along and they choose which bound animal they want to eat. And we may have seen this directly or seen it on television, that it could be dogs, it could be crayfish that are bound, unable to move, waiting to be selected to be slaughtered and eaten. And then furthermore, animals that are used as beasts of burden, that are used to as support for human beings, then they are certainly beaten regularly and to be made to do work that is often beyond their capacity. They're made to carry heavy loads, to pull weights of great magnitude, etc. So we see this also with elephants, where they are beaten with iron hooks just to get them to make them do work that is particularly difficult. So these are further sufferings that animals experience. Third line, for those tonight, the virtue that brings peace. A situation of peace comes about due to the accumulation of virtue. Animals do not, they cannot be trained, they do not understand about what is virtue, what is non-virtue, therefore they don't know how to accumulate the causes that lead to peace. The last line is this: the agony is one devours the other. So this is a worry that animals have, a constant fear that they have of being caught by another, and even before killed, being eaten alive. And this is a fear that most animals have to live with day and night. Now we come to the 90th verse. Some of them are killed just for their pearls, their wool or bones, their meat or skins and fur. And others, helpless beasts, are forced to work. They're kicked or struck with hands, with whips and goads. So it's many of these ways of killing that humans exert on animals we are aware of. So pearls come from, I think it's from clams. So the being is killed just in order to get the pearl that's found within its shell. And for wool, So wool doesn't only come from the sheep being shorn, but also sometimes a lamb, which is very soft wool, may be killed so that the wool together with its skin can be sold. And then also the bones of certain animals are valued or used in certain parts of the world for medicine or other purposes. And this way of killing that is exerted on animals is often quite harsh. Without the animal being killed, they may be skinned. And this is something that still happens a lot in the world.
And at the
end of the second line, their meat or skin and furs. So these are lists of a variety of things that animals are killed for. Many are killed because people enjoy eating their flesh, so that they'll be killed either by someone who wants to eat them or who wants to sell their meat. And others are killed for their fur, their skin, their bones, etc.
And in here, Wang Mei. Wang Mei Shanda, Doba, Labata, Jada, Jagu, Dabi, Dabi, Gorsi, SMJ Wang, no. Then on the milieu, Wang Chi Bishi Tanja, SMJ Wang Chi Meva Chagura, Denise, SMJ Wang Meva, Jang on the Migi, Control the College, Dobo, Dodger Kieran, Kieran, Pasu, Chick, Nierata, Jagi, Padung, Dana, Denigi, Lerman, Gugor, Sundly, the Cosmaso, Nepotle, Lerma Kuja, Galate, Chicago, Nandu Manana.
And other helpless beasts are forced to work. They are kicked or struck with hands and whips and goads. Animals who are bound and are forced into servitude, they are completely helpless. Their master, their overlord, they are the person who has all the power, all the control over them. They have the power that can bring a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in their lives, making them work day and night, carrying heavy loads, pulling heavy containers, etc. And to make animals work so hard, they are usually beaten and abused in many ways, as we see here. And in all these situations, despite so not wanting to be there, animals are helpless. There's nothing that they can do. What's been described in these two verses about the sufferings of animals, I don't expect any of you are reading this with surprise. This is something we've all observed and we know happens a lot in the world. So we have a direct experience of many of the sufferings that animals experience, and that we have witnessed this for ourselves, often directly or otherwise indirectly. And furthermore, we know why they are in such a position. In previous lives, they engaged in negative activities, which accumulated non-virtuous karma, which ripened in the rebirth as an animal. And with such a rebirth comes all of these myriad sufferings that they have to experience. So knowing this directly for ourselves, we should utilize this knowledge as inspiration to restrain our own physical acts, our own verbal acts, as well as our minds, so as to prevent accumulating causes that can lead ourselves to such a rebirth.
These
sufferings that we read about here, I assume to most people they seem very evident and are clearly unwanted. But whilst that may be the case for ourselves, there are many in the world who do not think like this. They actively engage in activities that bring about tremendous suffering to animals. And they have no concept that what they are doing is causing tremendous suffering to these animals. In fact, these activities they may see as fun, as joyful, and have no regard or awareness for the suffering that is being experienced by those living beings. And therefore they may kill animals. They may kill them in a way that extends their agony. Or they may just have fun and harm them and then release them into the wild and just thinking they're having a good time without any awareness of the harm they're causing to others. The reason that Nagarjuna is presenting these sufferings first of the hell realms and now of the animal realm is for us to generate a strong awareness of this and give rise thereby for a wish to be liberated from suffering and the causes of suffering. So Nagarjuna is teaching with this intention, because now we have the opportunity to restrain our body, restrain our speech, restrain our mind, and thereby ensure that we don't accumulate any further causes to have such experiences ourselves again, and moreover, to accumulate the causes to attain liberation from cyclic existence, to attain liberation from being in a position where we may well fall into such a rebirth ourselves.
Some Some gentle, 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 some gent 네 반도 침공 고르와다
As we heard this morning and last night, in the context of the sufferings being experienced in the hell realms, the purpose of thinking about the sufferings that animals are experiencing is exactly the same, in that we need to see the suffering that beings are experiencing and that potentially awaits us as well, and thereby give rise to the mind of definite emergence, give rise to this strong and stable commitment to emerge from the suffering experience that is cyclic existence, seeing that there is no lasting peace to be found anywhere. And then moreover, to apply this understanding to the situation of others. Through seeing the suffering of others, knowing how they, just like us, don't want to experience any of these sufferings, will naturally lead to the arousal of compassion. And the more we meditate on this, the stronger the compassion will arise. And knowing how these suffering beings are just like us in wanting to only experience happiness and wanting to experience moment after moment of lasting, stable happiness, gives rise to the wish of love. And developing these minds further and further, we come to the point where we take responsibility for the welfare of others, this mind of special intention. Developing this further, where we generate the mind of bodhicitta, where we not only take responsibility for the welfare of others, but we commit to becoming the most skilled of guides, becoming a Buddha. And thereafter, having meditated on the suffering nature of samsara, given rise to not only the minds of definite emergence, but also love and compassion, we then meditate on the six perfections, the practices that are required in order to fulfill our responsibility, the practices that are required in order to become enlightenment. So therefore there really is great benefit in reflecting on the topic presented here. Okay, then it is Kukrukta, I think Yaki Tuna May. Completed the presentation on the sufferings of hell in hell and the animal realm. So now we come to those of the pretas. So we'll start on the verse 91. For pretas too, there's not the slightest break in suffering from their unfulfilled desires. What dire misery that they must endure from hunger, thirst, cold, heat, fatigue, and fear.
Very
we've just been looking at the suffering that animals are experiencing, and this vast array of sufferings that they experience, such as the fear of being eaten alive, the fear of having their life taken from them, the fear of being burdened and overworked. This is something they desperate to have freedom from, but they have no control over their situation. They have no control over the harm that others bring to them. So this is something we have seen for ourselves, we have knowledge and experience of. But now when it comes to the presentation on pretas, well, like the hell realms again, this is something we don't have direct experience of in this life, something we haven't directly observed.
So the
suffering that precious experience is primarily the suffering of having their desires unfulfilled, of having insufficient resources, and within that it's primarily relating to their struggle to find sufficient to eat or to drink. So in general they're suffering from a lack of resources, but in particular we normally would talk about their hunger and thirst.
And as
we see here in the verse, the suffering that they experience is continuous. They don't have the slightest break. It's not. They're not in the situation of sometimes their desires are fulfilled, but they're continuously suffering in this way. Looking at the third and fourth line, what dire misery they must endure from hunger, thirst, cold, heat, fatigue, and fear. So these, in brief, are the sufferings that pretas primarily experience. So that of hunger, of not being able to ever attain enough food to eat, not attain enough water to drink, being cold, being too hot, and also from not being able to rest, and fear of being harmed. So these are sufferings that these beings who right now are in the preta realm are experiencing. So we too have accumulated these causes, and we need to cause us to experience these kinds of sufferings. So these causes that we have accumulated, we need to abandon, because the danger remains that we too may take a rebirth in such a realm.
Yaga,
We have experiences of very hot summers here, and we know in summer we all have the wish to be a bit cool, and when night comes and the temperatures drop, we experience quite some relief. But the situation for pretas is a bit different. They too would experience a tremendous suffering of heat during the day, but at night, even the moonlight serves to scorch them, and they find heat from the moon in the summer unbearable as it burns them. So they have no respite at all from heat during the summer. And in the winter, when it's cold, we all crave for some warmth. And if it's a sunny day, we're out in the sun and we're enjoying a bit of winter sunshine. But for pretas, again, the situation is different in that even the winter sun harms them. So they gain no respite from the cold in the winter.
Okay.
So these sufferings that we see here that precious experience, those of hunger, thirst, cold, heat, fatigue and fear, these are sufferings that are common across all types of pressures. And the cause for the suffering is miserliness. So now we come to specific situations of pretas. So 92nd verse. Some their mouths like needles' eyes. Some their mouths like needles' eyes. Their bellies huge as mountains ache from the want of food. They do not even have the strength to eat. Discarded straps, the smallest bits of filth. So the meaning then of the first two verse, the first two lines is that now we're looking at specific types of oppressors, was before we're talking about them in general. So these ones, they have the huge mouths and huge bellies, but tiny mouths, mouths like the an eye of a needle. So it's through this eye, this tiny mouth that they're supposed to feed themselves, but yet they have these massive bellies. I think here we say like mountains, and these bellies, because they are so large, but the mouth is so small, they are not able to satiate their hunger. They are not able to consume enough food to satiate their hunger. And moreover, then they have very thin and weak arms and legs, so they struggle to move, they struggle to carry their own body's weight despite being emaciated. The third and fourth line, they do not even have the strength to eat discarded scraps, the smallest bits of filth. So what we have here is some precious, well, like in other realms, there's a variety in terms of karmic outcomes. So some are suffering from more severe negative karma, and others from less severe negative karma. So here we have some that at least have the karma to come across some food. But the food, or what they have to consider as food, is for us unpalatable. So for example, if someone were to spit on the side of the road, we would not consider that food, but for these pretas, they're overjoyed to come across it. They're finally something that they can eat. Yet they don't have they struggle to be able to consume this, and even if they are able to eat a bit of it, that what they're considering food doesn't have the sustenance, it doesn't have the strength to sustain them adequately. So they're constantly remaining their mind dominated by hunger, and they're suffering from hunger. And this is something that's not just periodic, but they have to endure this their entire lives. Now looking at the beginning of verse 93, some, their naked bodies, skin and bone, are like the dried out tops of tala trees. Some of the naked bodies, skin and bone, are like the dried out tops of tala trees. So some of them, they have this terribly dry skin, which can be through which their bones pierce. And so this is to show just how emaciated they are. And their skin is dry. Their skin is dry like barks of trees. And here, so a tala tree is something like a banana tree. And then so the banana the the trunk of a banana tree is also something very dry. So this is to amplify the suffering that they experience from having such bodies. Third and fourth line of verse 93, and some have mouths that belch forth fire by night, and into their burning mouths sand as food. So this is now then describing different types of practice and their particular karmic ripening. So here, from their mouth at night, fire is emitted. Fire is emitted, and so if they try to eat, then that food is consumed by this fire, but it actually then also serves to burn them on the inside. So not only are they suffering from being famished, but when they do happen to find something to eat, this gets scorched by the flames within them and burns them from the inside. What we've been hearing about thus far are those who consider themselves to be fortunate, lucky practitioners. So some, as we see at the beginning of verse 94, a few unlucky ones don't even find some dirt to eat, pus, excrement, or blood. So there are those who don't even have the great fortune of finding pus, excrement, or blood to eat.
They
hit each other in the face and eat the pus that festers from their swollen necks. So these pratas who don't have the whose situation is so unfortunate that they cannot even find pus or excrement or blood to eat, they end up trying to eat the pus that is within the goiters on other pretas. So when they come across another preta, they fight with them to try and get at the pus with inside the goiters of the other preta, and to try and eat that. And in this conflict, they of course inflict greater wounds on each other, which then in turn also fester and rot. So this is an even worse situation.
Then
In verse 95,
for hungry ghosts, the summer moon's too hot. In winter time, the sun is far too cold. And so this I've already presented at the start of this section. So this is the experience of the pretas, that they are either continuously suffering from the pain of excessive heat in the summer, or continually suffering from the pain of excessive cold in the winter. Fine trees in orchards and orchards wilt and lose their fruit, and simply from their gaze great streams run dry. So some pretas, they have, maybe you could say, the good fortune to see actual food, such as orchards full of fruit, or rivers full of clean flowing water. But when they rush to and reach this source of food or drink, then either the fruit wilts and dries up and becomes inedible, or rivers dry up, and any opportunity to partake of this delicious food and water they've seen is lost. Then we come to verse 96. And some have bodies bound by that tight noose, their karmic store of previous evil deeds, now born as constant misery and pain, for 5-10,000 years they will not die. So the meaning of this is that due to the, so we've seen how the pretas do suffer, and some of them due to the strength of their formerly accumulated negative karma, primarily through the mind of mindfulness, leads to these incredible long rebirths within the realm of pretas.
The
suffering that is experienced, as we've heard before, is continuous in the preta realm. It's not sporadic, but continuous. And then, so this we have here in the third line, now born a constant misery and pain. And then the duration is presented here, that some will suffer for 5,000 years, some for 10,000 years. So it's an incredible lifespan they will have there, experiencing constant suffering. The 97th verse, the cause of these, the pretas varied woes, and all such kindred torments one might get is being greedy. This is the Buddha said, stinginess is not for the sublime.
제산 제다르 데네 디나신 제다르 이다는 게 둥아 빠도 메바 둥아 나서 바다 마라 용고도 와스 제산 둥아 데네 게 용고에 둥아 지게 로지 토바 간라 세데 저 데네 둥아 디게 간스게 와레 간스 용고고 간이 용와레 라나 아니 지고르다 데네 둥아 지제 담보니 디게 이다 둥아 나서 바다 마라 용고데 데네 둥아 디게 아니 간스 용와레 세고다
So this verse addresses the cause that leads to this suffering rebirths in the pressure realms. The cause for such rebirth is acts performed under the motivating mind of mindfulness. And this is something that the Buddha has stated himself.
We've looked
at now quite a few verses exploring the sufferings that are experienced by beings who are born in hell or as animals or in the pressure realm. So the way to reflect on this is to start out by reflecting in a personal way, as if what would it be like if I was had been born there in this life? What would it be my experiences be if my negative karma had ripened at the time of death and propelled me into such a rebirth? And so here we need to really think about the suffering in this personal way, and because this will give rise to a powerful response within ourselves. And then from this, we can take the understanding that we have come to, or the realization that we have come to, and apply it to others, because others we know are the same as ourselves in not wanting to experience suffering at all, and the same as us in only wanting to experience happiness. So this meditation starts on a personal level, and then we expand it to relating to others. And this way, it's part of the Mahayana Dharma. So the first step in the meditation is a reflection on all these various sufferings, and then we come to the second step. So within that first step, it's first with ourselves and then with others, and then in the second step, we think about the causes of all the suffering. And the causes, as we know, are actions done by a motivating minds which are afflicted. And so that's the cause of all our suffering. And then we need to think about the solution. How can one, is there something that can be done? What can be done? And this then leads to the mind of definite emergence, the wish to definitely emerge from the sufferings that are that pervade cyclic existence. And this will come about through, first of all, seeing clearly how suffering pervades cyclic existence, that the suffering is a cause, and identifying the cause unmistakably, and that there is a solution the wisdom realizing emptiness to that cause. And seeing these three, the suffering, the cause, and the solution, gives rise to the mind of definite emergence, the commitment to strive to be freed from suffering.
So having
given rise to this mind of definite emergence, we then transfer our focus onto others so that we can turn this into the mind of the Mahayana and the definite emergence of the Mahayana. So here we now think about the situation of others, that they share the wish to be free of suffering, they share the wish to only experience happiness, and that this concept of others isn't something that's abstract, but it's beings who have shown us tremendous kindness in the past, not just once or twice, but repeatedly, the relationships such as a parent or a caregiver, or in many other ways, all beings have directly, as well as indirectly, shown us tremendous kindness. Reflecting then on the tremendous kindness that others have shown us, the wish to repay that kindness will arise. And how best to repay the kindness of others? Well, they, like us, share the wish to only be happy. They share the wish to be completely freed of suffering. So if we generate the wish, may others be freed from suffering and its causes. May others experience only happiness and accumulate only the causes of happiness. In this way, we cultivate the minds of love and compassion, wanting others to be freed from suffering, wanting others to experience a state of lasting happiness. And we do so until we generate the strength of mind that takes responsibility for this to be achieved. So to go beyond a mere wishing for others to experience happiness, a mere wishing for them to be freed of suffering, to a point where we take responsibility to bring this about. And this is the mind of special intention. And following this mind, we think about, so how can I actually do this? Because it's one thing having this wish, but now I've made a commitment. And I've made a commitment with sincerity, so I need to fulfill this commitment. The way to do this is to develop oneself, develop one's own good qualities to the point that where they develop to the furthest limit, as well as to eliminate all faults completely. Because it's only through developing one's knowledge and good qualities, as well as gaining experience of the path, that one can become the most skilled of guides, that one can become a Buddha. So this is how we, from meditating on suffering, we come to the point where we actually generate bodhicitta for the sake of all beings. And thereafter, we engage in a meditation on the six perfections. And now this meditation on the six perfections has started off by reflecting on suffering, but it's a meditation now of the Mahayana, or the meditation of the Mahayana, in that we see the need to gain a good rebirth so that we can continue our spiritual progression, and therefore we need to practice generosity, guard our ethics, patience, and the like. But we need to go beyond that, and we need to attain liberation from suffering and full enlightenment, which means we need to practice a concentration and wisdom as well. So because these meditations will be done in the context of the mind of bodhicitta, there are practices which are shared or in common with beings of small capacity and intermediate capacity, but they are actually practices of the Mahayana, because the motivation is to lead all beings to a state of enlightenment. So this is the meaning of what we looked at last night and in the two classes today. And if we meditate repeatedly over a sustained period in this way, we will give rise to these minds ourselves.
친신의 마지에 된다라. 그러니까 뒤로가 책으로와.
And so now we've been hearing about the variety of sufferings that beings are experiencing, and we've understood that this suffering all comes about due to causes that these beings themselves have accumulated. And the suffering that is being experienced in the lower realms, the suffering that is being experienced by humans and gods, all of it comes from the negative causes that have been accumulated. And we ourselves are experiencing suffering now due to the negative karma we have accumulated. And moreover, on our continuum, it's a vast array of powerful negative imprints that we have accumulated that have the potential to lead to rebirth in the lower realms. So this is the reality of the position that we all find ourselves in, that whilst we may have a good rebirth right now, on our continuum are still the causes for great suffering that can be experienced as a human or even in the lower realms. Recognizing this, the wish to purify all the negative karma will come, as well as the wish to turn away from negativities. So wanting to purify all the negativities that we've engaged in gives rise to the practice of the application of the four opponent powers. So this starts with first recalling the negativities that we have performed. So for example, one can think of the various ways that we have all caused harm to others, whether it's through physical activities or verbal activities or mental activities. It's a vast array that we have harmed others in this life and in previous lives. So generating that should lead to a natural arisal of regret. And that this mind arises and is powerful is very important, because it propels the effectiveness of the following steps. So first, the first step is to recall our past misdeeds and to generate regret for them. Thereafter, we'll naturally give rise to the mind of restraint. So this will be the second opponent power. The first is the mind of recollection and regret. The second is the mind of restraint. So here is where we make a promise or a commitment not to engage in these negative acts that we've called to mind. We will not speak to others, we will not harm others through our speech, we will not harm others through our physical activities, and we will restrain our mind from going in a harmful direction. So this is then the second opponent power, that of the power of the promise or the power of restraint, where we commit to no longer engage in these harmful activities. Then, in order to purify these activities, we can engage in any number of virtuous practices. But in the context of what we've been talking about here, the best would be to generate again this mind of bodhicitta and to think about how we want to benefit others and benefit others in a way that's meaningful. And thereby, through meditating on bodhicitta, strengthening this mind we have, this serves as both of the remaining opponent powers. It serves both as the opponent power of the basis or support, as well as the opponent power of the antidote. So meditating on bodhicitta here serves as both these opponent powers. Alternatively, at this point one can meditate on emptiness. Meditating on the lack of true existence of beings and of suffering and of causes, etc. And if one chooses to meditate on emptiness here, this also serves as both of the two remaining powers, that of the basis and that of the opponent power of the antidote. Well, alternatively, the usual way that one would generate the opponent power of the basis or support would be to bring the Buddha to mind. And with strong trust in the Buddha, one may, for example, go perform prostrations. So here, having trust in the Buddha would serve as the opponent power of the basis. And then engaging in a virtuous activity such as prostrations will be the opponent power of the antidote. So just briefly again, having reflected now on suffering and generated mind such as bodhicitta and the like, then is a very appropriate time to engage in the meditation on the four opponent powers, starting with recalling our past misdeeds, generating strong regret, making the commitment to restrain from any such deeds again, And then engaging in the opponent powers of the basis and the opponent power of the antidote, such as meditating further on bodhicitta or meditating on emptiness. What we've looked at this weekend, whilst manifestly we've been speaking about the sufferings of the lower realms, actually the way we've been looking at it, the way that we encourage to meditate on this, encapsulates the entire meaning of the Dharma. We need to generate this mind of definite emergence, this strong and stable wish to become freed of the suffering of cyclic existence. And then, having an aspiration to enter the paths of the Mahayana, we need to turn that understanding to others and use that as a motivating force to generate the mind of bodhicitta. And we've spoken a lot about that. And then we've also briefly mentioned the need then to also meditate on emptiness. So what we've looked at this weekend actually encompasses the whole Lamrim, all the key points. And in fact, whatever teachings one receives comes down to these three key points. And reflecting on suffering is an ideal way, a suitable way, to generate the mind of definite emergence, as well as bodhicitta and emptiness. And therefore, I encourage you to meditate in this way as much as you can. So we'll finish here for today. Next week we'll continue with the next verses, which starts with the situation of gods, so the suffering that gods experience. If you have some questions, then do please feel free to ask. Yes?
I'm often confused his colleague has mentioned when he was doing some preliminary, when he was doing the gate tour, that we should have most compassion for the spirits. And I know they're not the same as precious, but I don't know why. I don't know where they fit in.
So what's the difference between spirits and precious?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Denny, that's all. So within the preta realm, there are those beings who are pretas and those who are spirits. So generally when we talk about spirits, we refer to those kinds of beings who are firstly unseen and secondly harmless. So that's generally what we'd refer to as a spirit. So within those beings who are unseen and who harm us, there will be those who are pretas and those who are not. So if something is called a spirit, so for example the Gektor, it's a being that can cause harm and is unseen. And that may include, and that does include pretas, but also has beings who are not pretas, but within the preta realm.
So it's definitely something that's
external.
And not a sort of manifestation of my internal
And in relation to the offering of the Gektor?
Yeah.
or spirits in general? Okay. Chitang Sena, Dene Dongte Se Yede, Konso Chiki Dongte Re, Konso Nangla Mare, Nangla Sena, Dene Nyomong, Nyomong Dan Drabo.
Ndi Chi Turada. Ye Dango Dende, 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 Dende,
So when we talk about spirits, we're referring to external beings, but what actually causes us harm is no external being, it is our afflicted minds.
Okay.
Yes, Cameron?
With predators, do they have, I suppose there's two questions, do they have the ability to have their mind change while they live as a predator? And are they able to receive Dharma teachings?
So can they receive Dharma teachings and can they change their own mind, develop their own minds?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah?
Yeah?
Like generate minds of virtue?
Yeah.
Like this? Yeah, okay. Dene yida kola katri nishuso, dene yida kola konso sem gyur tuk girebe, yida ki soso sem la gyur tuk girebe, dene konso nangcho shu tuk gires. Dene dono kiapla konso nangcho shu ki kopa yose kire, dene kala konso ge sem dan drabo tuk girebe.
Da yida kashi le yore, yida kashi la janshu senpa yore sego, yida kashi na la, janshu senpa. Dene nyewa na la ye,
I don't remember one word, but we'll try. So, in brief, yes, because amongst presses, bodhisattvas may take rebirth, just like in the health, bodhisattvas may take rebirth. And then in the animal realm, behind Nagarjuna there's a snake, Nagas, thank you. Bodhisattvas may take rebirth in the animal realm, such as Nagas. So
is it correct to say that they're a lot better off than animals?
Oppressors.
Yes.
Yeah. Then yidak dungdur le, netang yagarebe.
Ida 지당에 띵기 전에 제발나 먼저 미래 교화도 둔조지 둔조를 이다에도 교화래 그래서 컨트롤 강화 숙취해래 지사다 둔조 이다래 교수도 녀와 같이 물어 띵기 전에 이다래 둔조를 교화래 이내 이다다 네 둔조 나로래 같이 같이 레스니스라 되는 연구로 와
그 같이
찍니 순구로 와 되네
그래 연결해 So no, the three lower realms are presented in a sequence. So the general sequence is below humans will be animals, and then pretas, and then hell beings. And so this sequence is in growing suffering. So the suffering experienced by hell beings is the greatest. That by pretas is less, and that by animals is less, and then come humans. So this is the general sequence, and that particular sequence is in the sequence of suffering. But within the animal realms, there will be some who are bodhisattvas, and within the preta realm will be some who are bodhisattvas. So their situation's a bit different. But when we talk, very different, when we talk about pretas in general and talk about animals in general, then their suffering is different in terms of magnitude, with pretas being far greater than that experienced by animals. Okay?
It's just I thought, for instance, an ant seems to be incapable of receiving Dharma teaching.
Mm.
But if a preta could, then
Then,
A pretas in general will not be able to receive teachings, but amongst pretas there are those that can. So the way to approach this is to be aware that some ants are actually incredibly fortunate. They are able to receive Dharma teachings and study because they may be bodhisattvas. So likewise then with some pretas, if they are bodhisattvas, then they can receive teachings. But to say that pretas in general can, this would be too much. So if they are, so within a within the lower realms, where there are bodhisattvas in that realm, then they, being bodhisattvas, can receive teachings. But the beings there in general cannot.
And the further way that they can receive teachings is that one of the unique qualities of a Buddha is that a Buddha is able to communicate in a way that differing beings can receive benefit from. So I'm only able to teach the Dharma in Tibetan. So that's as far as my skills go. But a Buddha is not limited like that. So a Buddha would be able to speak in the language of all beings in a way. So in other words, a Buddha could speak in a way that pretas, assuming they have language, would be able to understand, and animals that have language would be able to understand. So if an individual being has the potential to receive teachings, to receive and understand teachings, the Buddha is able to converse them in a manner that they could comprehend. If they have then from their side the ability to be able to receive those teachings. So when you think about the development of the mind of bodhicitta, the practitioner comes to the point of saying, I need to become the most skilled of guides, I need to become a Buddha, because a Buddha is able to lead beings in accordance with their individual disposition and inclination. So normally we'd understand this in terms of personality. But what it should be understood actually in a far broader way. So when a being has become enlightened,
and is therefore able to help each and every being in accordance with their disposition and inclination, then whenever there is, for example, a bird who at that moment has the conditions have come together for them to be able to receive and relate to, maybe understand, relate to a teaching, a Buddha will appear in the forms, perhaps another bird, that can share the Dharma with them. So this is the broader understanding of a Buddha being able to benefit beings in conjunction with in accordance with their individual disposition and inclinations, that a Buddha would be able to appear in any form, communicate in the way that's appropriate to that form, to benefit beings if they are receptive. That's a complete answer.